They're really special tonight, and especially John. I've known John a long time, and I think he even came to the meeting when it was in my basement. Thursday night book, and we've been going together for a long time. And he's really gotten into the book, and he's a good buddy. You get really close to people that you share the path with, and that's one of the real joys. And to see the birthdays and see new people come in with 60 days is just it's just great. Tonight, we're going to be looking at the promises that are read at a lot of meetings, not at this one, and on page 83. And I'm gonna try to put it into context. What they mean is, everybody have a book. If you don't, we have some extras in the back for the new people. What?
I need one, but it's for the people that don't order.
They're in the closet. We're gonna look at the ninth step promises tonight. They're not always they're read at the meetings, but it's not always clear that they're the ninth step promises. I think the greatest promise in the book is probably in the foreword to the first edition. You don't have to turn there. But it says, we are 100 men and women who suffered from a hopeless condition of mind and body from which we have recovered. And they gave this message of their experience on how they recovered to the world. And that's what we're doing at this meeting. Like John said, this is the treasure map to God. This is the map, the big book, the first 102 pages on how we find that relationship with God, which helps me live. It removes the obsession to drink, and it can render me usefully whole. Anybody having any problems in their life, get into the book and work the steps, and you will see how your life changes. We also did on the podcasts, we've done the third step promises. I did a one on the fourth step promises, fifth step promises, the 10th step promises, and the 11th step promises. They're promises throughout the book. I guess these are read because they're 12 and they sound really good. I was trying to remember when I first heard them when I came to the meetings. And I'm sure it helped me. It's good to give hope to people. But it's really important when we look at it tonight to see the context, because they're put in here on page 83 for a reason. They're not put on page 1. And the thing is, if you've been in a while, you've been in the program a while, and see if these promises are true for you today. If you've been in a short time and they're not true, I'm going to tell you what we can do, how you can get these promises in your life. If you've been in a while and you don't have the promises coming true, then maybe you need to go back, like John said, and go through the book starting from the beginning and work the steps up to this point. And it says, if I am painstaking about this phase of my development. Now, what I did was I put a line through painstaking, and it takes a lot of pain to get to step 9 and start doing amends. And you're taking a step now. So there were pains that went into taking this. But painstaking means done with or employing great care or thoroughness. It's not just reading the steps or reading the book or talking about it. There's a lot that goes into this. And what is the phase? Phase is a process of change, a distinct period in a process of change. So we're trying to change ourselves. Why? Because the person that came in here got me here. And I needed to change the way I think and the way I act. And I need to get rid of all my old ideas, right? Or the result is nil. And it says this phase of my development. So the question is, and everybody hears this every meeting, what are you developing? It's painstaking about this phase. What am I developing? I'm trying to develop many things. I'm trying to develop a relationship with my higher power through which I can live. I'm trying to develop, and if we turn to page 25, or I'll just read it. But on 25, it tells me what else we're trying to develop. And it says it's there as a solution. And it says in the second full paragraph, that I'm trying to have a revolutionize my whole attitude towards life, towards my fellows, and towards God's universe. I'm going to change the way I see things. And then on page 27, on the one, two, it says on the paragraph where it says, yes, replied the doctor, it says, I'm going to have a vital spiritual experience if I want to recover. And it says, it appears in the nature of a huge emotional displacement and rearrangement. I'm going to displace the way I think, the way I react. I'm going to change my emotions. Why? Because my emotions were killing me, my feelings, and they were all negative. And it's going to be done by rearrangement. And all the ideas, emotions, and attitudes, which were the once the guiding forces of my life, is going to be cast aside. And so I was reading this tonight. I was studying it with someone I'm working with. And the ideas and emotions and attitudes, everything I thought I knew when I came in here was the guiding force of my life. That was my higher power. And guess what? It got me here. It got me a wristband. My life was a mess. And so I'm trying to develop a new way of living. I'm going to get a new set of conceptions and motives. And I'm going to try to have an emotional rearrangement of my personality. And so, and it says that we're trying to change my personality. And that my personality was self-centered. And it caused me to do harm and make decisions that harm me and others. And I'm trying to change my personality to be God-centered and to be of service to others. So I got a lot out of that. It says we'll be amazed, just shocked, before we are halfway through. And what are we halfway through when we get to this phase of our development? We're halfway through the ninth step, where we're making amends, and we're trying to repair the damage of the past, and we're trying to remove the barriers between me and other people and the world. Now, why do you think they put the 12-step promises in here when you're in the ninth step? And we talked about the ninth step at the Carbondale meeting the other night, and I probably talked too long, but I forgot to say, I'm sure I talked too long, but I forgot to say one thing, that the most important part of the ninth step is that if there's any barrier between me and one person, there's a barrier between me and God. And we're trying to get rid of all the barriers between me and my Creator so He can work in my life. And when we come into the program, we have a lot of resentments. Anybody have resentment when you got in here? Anybody are angry yet? Well, we find out that we owe most of those people amends. We harm them. And we need to make right the relationship, or it's going to block me from God. And if I'm blocked from God, then I have no power not to drink, right? So it's good to have the power unblocked, and these promises come true to me when I'm in the ninth step. Now, the ninth step takes a while, but he says when you're halfway through, when you've made a lot of effort to doing this, you've broken down a lot of barriers between you and your Creator. So it says then, I'm going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. Now, know is to be aware of something through observation, inquiry, or information. And I'm going to have a new freedom. And what was my old freedom? We must have had an old freedom, right, when we came in here. What was it? Well, I really wasn't free. I was in the bondage to self. I never had any freedom from the bondage of me, what I thought. And the new freedom is that I'm free of that. I'm free of my old ideas. I'm free of my old attitudes. I'm free of my resentments and my fears. And then a new happiness. Well, what was my old happiness? Anybody have happiness? Anybody want happiness? Well, before I came in here, my happiness was gauged on whether things worked out the way I wanted. And that if I managed the world a certain way, it would be okay. Thumbs up. But it wouldn't last. Or I'd worry that it's not going to stay okay, so I'd be full of fear. And the happiness was based on external things and how I managed the world, and it didn't work. I don't know about you, but it was exhausting too. And now my happiness is being of service to God and others, to be connected to a relationship with my Creator. And It says, I will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. Now, I thought about this a lot, and they didn't write anything in the big book that they didn't know the words. So regret means to feel sorrow or remorse. Well, of course I felt sorrow and remorse about the past. Anybody else? We all had sorrow and remorse about the past. So why will I say I will not have sorrow and remorse about the past nor wish to shut the door on it? Well, I thought about it a lot. And I think the word regret means here is that I won't have the shame and guilt anymore. I won't have shame and guilt because I've worked steps 1 through 9 and I've forgiven myself and others. I've changed the way I see people. And I'm making amends, so I'm being rid of shame and guilt. And then if I block out the past, the other word I would use for regret would be block out the past, then I'll get away from my first step, right? And I'll get away from my powerlessness and my alcoholism. And then if I don't keep in touch with my past, I won't take my first step. It won't stay alive. And my third step, I won't make the decision to seek the direction of my Creator every day. And remember, this your past is can save someone's life. The Big Book talks about that over and over. Linda, what was that line? Our past is the
greatest destiny.
Greatest. But it's our greatest. It can be our greatest asset. And so we can use our past to gain the confidence of another alcoholic and to show them our experience so they'll want what we have. It says, I will comprehend the word serenity and I will know peace. Now, comprehend means to grasp mentally, to understand something. So it doesn't say, I get serenity and peace. It says, I will comprehend it. I will understand what peace and serenity look like for me. And what I used to say to my wife is, I'm okay today, honey. I'm doing okay. She says, well, I'm glad to hear that. But what I meant is that for an alcoholic to be okay, it means that I'm at peace right now in the moment. And to me, that's better than anything I could get out of alcohol and drugs, just to be at peace right now with myself, the world, and others. And the word serenity means a state of being calm, peaceful, or untroubled. And so we comprehend what it is to be untroubled. Now remember, we're going to have a whole step coming up on step 10 on the same page is where we're going to look at whenever I'm disturbed during the day. And if I'm disturbed during the day, then I'm not in right relationship with God. So I will comprehend what it feels like to be at peace with God, and to be at peace, and to know peace, and to understand peace. Does this make sense? And serenity is the state of being calm, and peace means, you know, you're at ease with something. You're even with it. There's no blocking. And so that's a great promise, right? Now, it says no matter how far down the scale we have gone, some have gone further than others, we will see how our experience can benefit others. Now, I saw a new word in the big book. I always like it when they put a new word in there. The book was sitting in my, you know, in the house, but somehow somebody put a new word in there. It says, I will see. It does, I can see, I can now see how my experience of working the steps, my experience of being an alcoholic, my spirit experience can benefit others. I can see that now. It doesn't say my experience can benefit others, but I can see how it will. So I've changed from a self-centered person to someone who can see how I can help others. That feeling of uselessness, anybody feel useless? And self-pity will disappear. Now, I looked up self-pity. We talk about it a lot. Anybody have self-pity ever? We're all free of it now, I know. A self-indulgent dwelling on one's own sorrows or misfortunes. I think that described our whole life. We were self-indulgent. We indulged ourselves in our emotions. And notice what happens to it. It says that feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. You see, the promises are a spiritual change that happens to us. Now, where was I when it disappeared. I mean, what was I doing? It just disappeared. And this is how we talk about a spiritual experience, right? A lot of people wonder, what the hell is that? Spiritual awakening. It sounds great, but it's too much for me. It's when these things just happen. There's a power in your life where uselessness and self-pity just disappears. It's, you experience the power. People are always worried about what God is. All we're interested in AA is, if you do these steps, tell us what happens, what your experience is, and that experience is the power we call God. And God will make these things just disappear. And then it says, you lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Now on page 63, when we're starting step three, it says in the first paragraph there, these are the third step promises. It says, if I'm established on a footing in which God is my director and I'm his agent and he's the father and I'm the child, if I'm on that footing, I'm going to be less interested in myself, my little plans and design. I'm going to be interested in seeing what I can contribute to life. Isn't that good? And it says a new power starts to flow in. Well, that's on step three. Now when you're finishing step nine, now it says you lose interest. You have this relationship with God and you've been changed. When you start to begin, and now you have lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in your fellows. Now where are you when you lose interest? Are you watching TV? You know, where is it happening? But it happens. Because it's going to say, suddenly realize that God is doing for us we cannot do for ourselves. Suddenly, there'll be a moment when self-pity will disappear. You just, it's not there anymore. You'll be sitting there, and all of a sudden you're thinking of others, and you lost your interest in selfish things and gained interest in your fellows. Here's another one: self-seeking slips away. Notice the terms they use. We all think we do the steps and we get like a certificate or something. No. We get into step nine and we get these promises. These things are happening to us. We have an experience of the power. So what is self-seeking? Anybody else have that? I had a little bit of it, probably a lot of it. It says selfish, self-interested, self-serving, seeking one's own interest or selfish ends. I had somebody tell me today that they weren't such a bad person, that they cared for others and did this and that. And I said, yeah, so you could get what you wanted. You know, if we really looked at our behavior, everything we did was to just get something out of it for ourselves. And it just slips away. You see the spiritual powerful terms. They wrote it this way. It's not a mistake. It slips away. My whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Now think about it, that is a really powerful process. Because my attitude when I came here was, anybody talk about shitty attitude? Anybody ever have one? I should say that I'm on the, forgive me, I'm on tape, but you know, I'm sure you've had it too if you're listening. But you know, we had bad attitudes. And the more we had a bad attitude, the worse we made it. We could start out with a little bit bad attitude, we could make it really bad. And it was the way we saw things, the way we related to things, the way we reacted to things. And how did it work? It didn't work, and it separated me from God, and it made me full of fear and resentment, and then alcohol became a really good idea. See the relationship between alcohol and all of this? And it says, my outlook upon life will change. My life today is centered on praying in the morning, asking God to direct my thinking, trying to get a vision of his will for me and meditate on that. And then during the day, watch for when I'm starting to get back into Michael and getting a little disturbed and ask God to change the way I see things. And then most of the days, or my days are really good, better than I deserve. And my life is really peaceful and calm most of the time. The only time it isn't is when I choose to separate from God. It's all my fault. My fear of people and economic insecurity will leave me. Now, Sandy Beach didn't like this line because he didn't want to lose fear of economic insecurity. He wanted to get money. He says, so somebody, he was worrying about money and he was complaining at the meeting. They didn't have a job and this and that, and he had all these kids to feed. and the guy would say serenity prayer. And then after a while, the sponsor says, now listen, in AA, we lose our fear of economic insecurity. He says, that's good, but I want the other step. I want the money step. He says, there is no money step in AA. We lose our fear of it. Isn't that a great thing? We all have economic insecurity, but when I do, I say, well, gee, God's in charge of my life. I'll give God money. I'll give it to God. I don't have to worry. Remember, we talked about the third step decision. I have a contract with God that if I stay close to him and do his work well, he'll give me everything I need. So why am I worrying? Well, because I'm breaking the contract. And so when I break the contract, I don't feel good. And the fear of people, and that's why it's in here, because our fear of people, since we've changed the way we see everybody we had resentments at in our fourth step, right? And we've forgiven them, and we've changed the way we see them, there's no barrier between me and the world. So there shouldn't be anybody that walks through the door tonight that I would be afraid to see. And I think I can say that. Now, there are people that I owe amends to that may come through the door, and I'll be willing to make them. You know, I don't know if I can find them now, but if they come through that door, I'm willing. And so that's a great, great promise, to be free of fear of people and of economic insecurity. And it's given to us. It leaves you. Notice the term, slip away, disappear, leave us. This is like a magic act. It's like going to Las Vegas and watch a magician perform these things that have dominated our lives. And all of a sudden we're sitting there and it's just gone. And that's the spiritual experience. That's the great promise of this program. If you're new, this sounds good, but you can be for you. There's no barrier between you and this promise, except these promises except you and not doing the work. God will not set a barrier between you and him. And it says, I will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle me. And I looked up intuitively, without conscious reasoning, instinctively. Now, I will say that I instinctively and consciously knew how to handle everything before, and I made a mess of it. I always knew what to say or do, and it was always wrong, and it made things worse. And now I intuitively know to pause. I know to stop reacting in a negative way and to ask God to help me. And so this intuitive is without conscious, it just comes to you. It's called the sixth sense that Bill W. talks about, and the sixth sense that they're going to talk about at the end of page 85. It just happens. And it says, here it is, I suddenly realize that God is doing for me what I could not do for myself. And so where are you when that happens? But it happens. It happens suddenly. And materialize means become actual fact. No, realize, I'm gonna become fully aware of something as a fact. You're aware of the consciousness of your creator. It's a fact for you. It's not a myth anymore. You suddenly realize that God is doing something for you. Anybody change their mind today and stop from acting a certain way and pausing and asking God for direction and a change? It happens. Now, somebody said the spiritual awakening or the spiritual experience can recur slowly and or in some cases quickly. But it always occurs suddenly. There is that sudden moment when you realize that you have a relationship with your creator and that things have changed. And then for me, I continue to have these spiritual experiences. Every time I stop doing something the old way and do it the new way, it's a suddenly realize God's doing for me what I could not do for myself. I was swimming this morning around 8 o'clock, the sun's coming up. I've got my health. And I'm watching the sun come up and swimming. I was listening to a speaker. And I said, my, look what God's done for me. Just look at what God's done in my life. And how can I repay him? How can I ever repay? There's no way I can repay everything that's been given me. And it's just that I was thinking of the promises. And it says, are these extravagant? Extravagant means exceeding what is reasonable or appropriate. And then everybody chants, we think not, which is great, nothing wrong with it. But we think not, but they're not extravagant, but they don't come to you unless you do the work. And this is the result of the steps we're reading right now. This is the change in my attitude and outlook in life. This is the power. And then it says, they're fulfilled among us sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. Now, here's another thought. He said sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. Well, who decides whether it's quick or slow? You do. How quickly are you doing the work? How slow are you doing the work? And how slow can you do the work without these promises before you drink again? See, there's a lot of warnings always in this book. And it says they will always materialize, and materialize is like become actual fact, appear. So it's like a magician makes something appear. Ever see that? The hat rabbit comes out of the house. So you're sitting here today, you're new, your life's a mess, and suddenly things are going to materialize that, and you're going to change. Now, next week we're going to look at step 10. And the reason these promises are right here, because, and I'm just going to give you a little, it says in step 10 on the next paragraph, we have entered the world of the spirit. So the whole goal of this, of the steps, is to be in the world of the spirit. That means in the now with God, with the Creator. And when you're in the world of the spirit, the promises come true. And when you're not in the world of the spirit, the promises don't come true. So if you're not having peace and serenity right now at this moment, it's because you're not in the moment with your Creator, and you're either in fear or resentment. So these promises materialize, but they could disappear. But we can make them materialize by getting back to God and doing the steps and working the spiritual exercises. Does this make sense? So I hope I've put this in some kind of context, and it occurred to me they're right here now. Because once you're in your amends, you're breaking down all the barriers between you and the world. And if there's any barrier between you and anything in the world, there's a barrier between you and God. And then if you have a barrier between you and God, then you have no barrier between you and alcohol. And so that's why the promises are here. And then it brings us to step 10, which we're going to go through in great detail, in which it tells us how we live in the now all day long, and we stay with the promises, and we stay recovered. And then, I don't know if we'll do that next week. I'm going to look at the steps we took on 8 and 9, and I may use some of that information if we're just finished step 9. Babette mentioned step 6. We spent 5 weeks on that here, on step 6 and 7, because it's so important. And they're all on the podcast. So I'm going to open it up now. Congratulations again to the birthdays, and I hope if you're new, you come back. We're glad you're here.